Welcome to the Rock Music Alliance interview sessions. I'm your host, Cole Coleman, along with keyboardist Claudio Pesavento, who's from Mahogany Rush and the Chris Squire Band. On our show today, you know him and his writing and recorded work with legendary artist Edgar Winter, as well as Argentinian band Arco Iris, and his touring with legendary rock band War. Welcome to our show, guitar player, writer, and solo artist James Zoda Baker.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man. Thanks for coming on our show.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Hey, Claudio, how you doing over there?
I'm good.
Did I say it right? That Argentinian band. I'm not hip on my Spanish. Is it Arco Iris?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big band, guys. Check out Arco Iris.
You know what it means, Arco Iris?
It means rainbow.
The rainbow.
Wow, isn't that something? So you're like the Argentinian rainbow.
That's right.
All right, man.
They were around before the original rainbow. I mean, they were really early 70s. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah,
I was there.
Are they still active?
Yes, actually they are. They're on tour right now in Argentina. I'm not with them because I'm touring with War, but they're playing down there now.
Ada?
Yeah, Ada and his son, Ada Jr.
Wow.
He's a great saxophone player and composer now. And so they're down there with a band with Dino Carlos Campos. I think he's a guitar player. And I can't remember.
Gustavo Santolaya, no.
Roberto something on bass. I can't remember his name, but great player.
What about Gustavo Santolaya?
No.
He was the original member.
Yeah, well, Gustavo, yeah, who's an Oscar-winning. Yeah, absolutely. You know,
Very cool. Very cool. James, what is the latest news from your world? Any tours or new releases coming up?
Well, right now, the latest news is I'm sitting here talking with you guys, which is cool. And then War, we start touring again April 20th in Visalia, California. And then the following week, we go to Florida and New Orleans. We'll play the Orpheum Theater in New Orleans, which will be great. The Wailers are opening up for us. And you can go to my website, jameszodabaker.com, and go to news and shows page. And that'll show all the places that we're playing, you know, in this upcoming year.
Very cool. Is it primarily a United States tour, or does it involve North America?
Yeah, it's mostly United States so far on the calendar. You know, there's talk of Europe and Japan, but I don't know if it's going to be this year or next year. So, yeah, mostly the States right now.
Yeah, cool. Now, War is a beloved rock band, you know, fusing Latin vibes and even soul into their overall style. And I imagine there's a lot of grooving and dancing from the people at a War show. What is it like at a War concert when you're up on stage looking out into the crowd? What do you see?
Well, you see a party, you know, because that's what, it, you know, War is like, it is the ultimate party band, or one of the ultimate party bands. And, you know, it's just a diverse crowd. And yeah, people are always just getting up dancing because there's so many hits. You know, the hits, just the list goes on and on. Cisco Kid and Why Can't We Be Friends and Low Rider and Spill the Wine and, you know, all those iconic songs. And yeah, so people are just always singing along. That's part of the rush. You know, they're not my tunes, but just feeling that rush on stage, you know, when you have a whole audience singing back the songs, it's just incredible.
Yeah, it's a symbiotic relationship between audience and band, which I think most people know that, you know. I mean, so sometimes you go to a concert and it really is more like a sit and watch fest. But that's why I say with a band like War, I get the impression it's much more of a, you know, crowd's going to get involved in that music.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then occasionally, you know, the lead singer, Lonnie Jordan, will invite some people on stage to dance and all that. And so, you know, yeah, it's a cool vibe.
Yeah, that's pretty hip. I know, like in most concerts I've ever seen, I mean, that's a forbidden thing, you know, but wow, pulling people up on stage, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, only girls.
Only girls.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was a musician all my life, you know, pretty much, you know, played mostly, you know, bars, nightclubs, casinos, that kind of thing. So I played a lot of these songs. You know, we did the Low Rider and Spill the Wine, Cisco Kid.
Yeah.
And we even dabbled a little bit with Why Can't We Be Friends, you know, but Low Rider and Spill the Wine, the people just go off, you know, it's amazing. Yeah, we had a drummer who sang, and he would he had a little rig that he made, timbales, and he had a mic stand and timbales, and he would grab that and run out to the front of the stage and start playing, and the rest of the band would come in. So he had a mic, a harmonica, you know, harmonica rig around his neck, the microphone to sing, and his timbales. Yeah, quite a talented guy.
Got the war sound dialed in, man. That's pretty cool.
It worked really great. And then at some point in the song, I kind of forget where, but he would run back behind the kit and then, you know, lay into the beat. Mm-hmm. And it was a good time, you know. That was at Riverside Casino in Laughlin. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Now this is your second tour of duty with War. I see you were there first in 1998 to 2002.
Yeah.
How did you first get the gig with War, and why leave them in 2002?
Well, the way I got the gig was through a guy named Scott Borden, who ran a studio called Cornerstone, which is in Jasper. Yeah, remember that place?
Yeah, and that's where I met Jean-Michel.
That's where you met Jean-Michel, right? I used to do a lot of work with Jean-Michel there. We would record there. And so actually a year before I got the gig, I went in and just to say hello to Scott Borden. We were going to have lunch. And War was in there mixing something, and I handed the engineer, Chris Huston, a demo tape of mine. Said, if you guys ever need a guitar player, let me know. But that's not the way it worked out. It was about a year later, my friend Scott Borden called me and said that War was auditioning. And so, you know, I went down and auditioned. It's kind of a long story, but I went down and auditioned, and, you know, was fortunate enough to get the gig. And yeah, that was in 1998, and toured extensively with them till 2002. And you know, I'd like to say that I you know, got the gig with Sting and that's why I had to leave, but that's not what happened. You know, just personal differences. I was growing in a different direction. You know, I really wanted my songwriting career to take off. You know, I mean, I really appreciated being a sideman, but I wanted my songwriting career to take off and wanted to stretch out and do other things. And so it just, you know, just wasn't vibing right. You know, I was younger. I didn't realize I could do both and keep both gigs. And so, you know, we parted ways, but we remained friends. And Lonnie Jordan has played on both of my solo records. Sal Rodriguez, the drummer, has played on my first solo record. And so we would always, you know, hang out and remain friends. And I think it was around 2017, I was asked to fill in. And I went to Japan. Actually, it was the day before they were going to Japan. I got a call and they asked if I could fill in. I said, yeah, where? Japan. Okay. So I was up all night relearning those tunes after all those years. And then I just started filling in, you know, from time to time, you know, every year or every other year. And then at the top of 2023, I was January 2nd, 2023, I was asked to rejoin full time again. So, you know, now I'm back in and having a great time, different perspective and, you know, just enjoying being on the road and, you know, great musicians in the band. Scott Martin on sax and Rene Camacho on bass, Sal Rodriguez on drums, Marcos Reyes on percussion, and Mitch Cashmar on harmonica, and then, of course, the legendary Lonnie Jordan on lead vocals and keyboards, you know, who co-wrote all those tunes and produced all those tunes.
Yeah, man, that's great. And that's a really a great point and lesson for anybody listening. It's like, you know, keep things on a good relationship level, you know, with the bands out there, you know, there's no need to burn bridges, you know?
Well, yeah, that's it. That's, you know, it's a great point. You know, it took me a little longer than some other guys to figure that out because, you know, I had a lot of stars in my eyes and wanting to be famous. And so you go about things differently in your life, but you know, when you get older and if you're lucky, you get a kind of a second chance in your life. To have a different perspective and appreciate things. You know, it's really also getting into gratitude about, you know, because not everybody gets those chances. And then just staying grateful for everything. You know, I play with a great band in town, Party Jones. I do things with my wife, the Star Travelers. Just keep playing and writing and trying to have the best relationships with everybody that you can.
What kind of stuff are you doing with the Star Travelers?
Star Travelers is a cover band. Sometimes we do it as a band, sometimes as a duo. We go out and, you know, just play the usual fare, you know,
right.
Tunes. And same with Party Jones. I also have a fusion band. Right now it's called the JZB band, but we go out and play, Jeff Beck and Pat Metheny and Jimi Hendrix and, you know, tunes like that. And then occasional, new tunes, you know, instrumentals that I have, or songs from my two solo albums where I, you know, they're vocal albums. So I'll play songs from there as well.
Right. Well, don't forget about the Lighthouse Cafe. You know, we were chatting about the Lighthouse earlier. That's right. A great place for all kinds of music, you know, all styles play there. Yeah. Yeah. You know, what amazes me about musicians too, is up in Hollywood, you probably heard, you know, there's the Ultimate Jam Night at the Whiskey. And it just blows my mind that a lot of the players up there, well, most of the players, they're all, you know, pro players on tours, but it's like, man, you know, they're touring for months at a time with bands. And what do when they come to town? Go jam at the Ultimate Jam, you know? It's like, take a break,
It's a schmooze fest, you know, that's what's happening up there. You know, I mean, they want to play and they love playing, but you know, this is a people business. You know what I mean? You have to be out there. You have to be mingling with other people. I'm not always the greatest at that, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, I get in my modes where I'm good at it, but other people are, you know, that's part of their whole thing. You know, it's not just being a great guitar player or bass player.
It's called ADD.
Yeah.
talk about one of the big networkers. Believe me, Claudio is very great at it, which is one reason he's helping at the Rock Music Alliance with A&R. You know, that's why he's head of A&R.
I go to the Whiskey all the time and always see the same people all needy for attention.
There's so many good.
They ask me, "Are you gonna play tonight?" I say, "No." I don't have to play once. I didn't drive here just to play one song. It takes me more than one song to warm up, you know.
There's a few great clubs. I mean, there's the Whiskey, of course, but, you know, it's always great to drop in if you can at the Viper Room while it's still there. And it's in the Bourbon Room is another good venue right now.
I want to tell you something about that. Ultimate Jam is supposed to be a jam.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have your solos.
Right.
You go there, you have to play the song like the album, play the parts. So every time Chuck called me, he called me and say, "Hey, can you play on this?" I say, "Sure." But and I listen to the song and it's like it just the chord changes. It's not really much excitement for me to play. So then I go there and the keyboard player had the wrong sounds. They want to program the sounds for the people to go on stage because you don't have time. You just have to go in and out, you know? Sometimes it's just weird because, you know, it's mostly those jams is all about guitars, basically. You know, it's not like a really keyboards.
Guitar and vocals for sure. You know,
But, you know, I'm talking about when it comes to the band.
Yeah.
So you know,
it's tough on keyboard players for that. Yeah.
I like to play something that's gonna make me feel challenged. You know, that I can do something. But,
sure. No, I totally get it. Yeah.
I have fun when I play. You know, I mean, it's good to be on stage and play live with people that you never played before and just meet on stage, you know, that's fine. But,
yeah.
Right.
And the other great place to network is at the Rainbow. We hear a lot about that.
Yeah, there's the Rainbow. There's, you know, the Whiskey, the Viper Room and stuff. You know, I mean, I've played
the Roxy.
Yeah, I've played all those places in the past. I mean, I haven't really gone to any of the jam sessions. I think the last jam session I went to was at the Baked Potato in North Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
It was the reason why I don't go to them, because, you know, the guy that was jamming with me decided to play some wrong chords during my solo to make me look like, you know what? And so I'm just sitting there.
Sounds like Hollywood.
The new me is, you know, I just took a deep breath and walked out. It wasn't the old me, would have said something, but I just, you know, I took a deep breath and took my lumps and drove home and went, that's why I don't go jam with these cats, you know, because that's, you know, you don't want to be thrown under the bus when you're, like, when you're,
Paul,
when you're, you know.
Paul, I met James in 2002 at his house. Jean-Michel Byron, he used to be in Toto, the singer. He was in one album, and then he took me to his house. And then I met him again, like 2 years ago, here at my place, with Brian Chatton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Brian, yeah.
He records some guitars. I say I know this guy, but I couldn't figure out from where. Then I saw some photos on my computer with Jean-Michel. Oh yeah, that's him. And then that's it.
Oh, that's cool. See that. Those photos sometimes, man. I want to see those.
That's the story.
Now, Jean-Michel, I'm hearing Jean-Michel, and you know, I'm used to hearing Jean-Michel Jarre.
Byron.
But it's Byron. Okay.
Jean-Michel Byron. Yeah.
Byron. Okay.
For Toto for a while. He was, he co-wrote four songs on the Past and Present album, and then he went on tour with them. And then when he was out of Toto, he, we met each other backstage at a Toto concert, actually. And just to tell you the quick story, I went to see Toto in Pasadena, and it was Jean-Michel on lead vocals. And I went to the party afterwards, and there was a bunch of people there, all the Toto members and Wilson Phillips and, you know, a whole bunch of Van Halen, you know, Eddie and Alex. And so I went up to Jean-Michel and I said, hey, you know, I was very young, but I just said, hey, I really love your voice. I'd love to work with you sometime. And he said, well, play me something right now. So right in front of all these people, that's very Jean-Michel, right, Claudio? So he, you know, in front of Van Halen and all these people, I went over to the piano and played him a song. And he liked it, you know, he said, oh, this is great. Let's hook up sometime. And you think, yeah, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And about 6 months later, he called me and then I, joined his band, his first band that, you know, we started playing live around town all the time. And it was with, Marco Mendoza on bass.
Yeah.
And, Joey Haredi on drums.
Yeah.
A guy named Otmaro Ruiz on keyboards. And it was just a stellar band. You
they
know.
Play at La Vallée, right?
Pardon me?
They play at the jazz place in Ventura Boulevard, La Vallée, I think.
Yeah, La Vallée. And also there was a place called Prezo. And it was kind of the in place at the time. You know.
Yeah, I met him when I was recording with Dawkins at the Cornerstone. I was, was recording at the Cornerstone, and Jean-Michel have a studio next in the next room. So I met him there, like it was like 2002, and then.
Oh, that's cool! Very cool.
Yeah, that's how I met you. Yeah, Cornerstone was a really great studio. It was the Jazz War, I think, right? It was
the Jazz War. Exactly right. Yeah.
They have the guys from Stevie Nicks. What's his name?
Lindsey Buckingham was there.
Yeah, there are a lot of people recorded there. Yeah.
Oh, very yeah. Cool, Motley Crue cool. did Dr. Feel Good, and, you know, a whole bunch of great tunes have been recorded there. Yeah.
That's very a good cool. studio.
So, James, in between your tours of duty with War, I see in 2008, you started working with Edgar Winter and co-writing and recording guitar on the CD Rebel Road. How did that come about? Like, how did you meet up with Edgar? And tell us that.
Well, that probably started around 2005, I want to say, the beginning of that record. I was working with a producer-writer named Kurt Cuomo, who had written for Kiss. You know, he wrote several of the tunes on Psycho Circus and all that. And so I was starting to do studio work with him. And one day he just asked me, you know, over lunch, he said, you know, would you like to work on an Edgar Winter record, because he had co-written one song with Edgar on a previous record. I think it's Winter Blues. And he said, but they want more riffs and more rock oriented type of tunes. And would you want to do something like that? And, you know, of course, hello. Yes. I didn't beat around the bush. Yeah, that would be great. So we got a set of lyrics from Edgar called Rock and the Blues. And he said, you know, this is the song that he wants his brother Johnny to play on. And so he said, come up, you know, with a riff or something, you know, to start this tune. And so I came up with the riff that's on, you know, the main riff and chorus that's on the Rock and the Blues, that's on the Rebel Road record. And that was our first meeting. So Kurt and I drove to Beverly Hills to meet with Edgar. And he, you know, said, okay, play me what you got. And so we, you know, I started playing the guitar and humming him the idea for the melody and all that. And he just spun around and smiled and said, yeah, that's it, man. That's right. And
he said, yeah, I know.
There you go. There you go. That's it.
That's great, man. That's great.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Attention guitar players, join the Thimble Slide Revolution and free your slide finger. The Thimble Slide is a mini guitar slide designed to be worn on the tip of your finger, about 3/4 of the way down your fingernail. When worn there, you can still bend your finger. And most importantly, it's allowing enough of your fingertip through so you can press the guitar strings. The Thimble Slide is larger at the back and smaller at the front, so it follows the contour of your finger. So when you're wearing the slide, it's not loose or rattling around on your fingertip. This also allows your other fingertips in nice and close for playing. The sizing gap allows you to make the slide a little bit larger or a little bit smaller for a nice custom fit. So while you're wearing a Thimble Slide, you can, of course, use it as a slide. But more importantly, it allows you to still fret the strings so you can play the guitar. You can play chords. You can play lines while wearing it. You can bend strings with your ring finger. You can drag your fingertip across the strings if you need to. You can do pull-offs, hammer-ons. So there you go. You can actually still really do all the things you need to do to keep playing guitar. It's like... With its patented shape, you can slide and fret while wearing the Thimble Slide. Visit thimbleslide.com. That's thimbleslide.com.
So did you get to meet Johnny?
And I met Johnny. We, you know, as the record progressed, and we got down the basic tracks, and myself and Doug Rappaport, who's a killer guitar player, Edgar's guitar player, we laid down all the rhythm tracks, you know, for I would say 9 of the tunes, and of the 11 tunes, and then it was time for overdub sessions. So we had, you know, Slash and Clint Black and a bunch of other people. And then Johnny happened to be in town. He was playing at the Canyon Club, you know, the Canyon Agoura. And when he was done, he was going to swing by the studio. And it was a bit, it was almost like a cartoon because they had a van come up and they opened it up. And, you know, he comes spilling out and into the studio. And I show him a little bit of what the tune is. He's not going to play the riff at this point. He's going to solo on it. But just to get an idea of what it's like. So we're playing little guitar together. And then when they hit the record button, his amp, you just see fire and smoke come up from his amp.
Wow.
And so he ended up plugging into my Rivera, which was there. And he played great. You know, he played, you know, the way Johnny Blair plays. And it was just fantastic just to be a part of that, you know, a little bit of a fly on the wall.
That'd be great.
It was really cool, you know.
I was lucky when I was playing Mahogany Rush, I met so many great guitar players like Johnny Winter, you know, Rick Derringer, Steve Ray Vaughan, you know, you name it. So,
right.
Really nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I had some amazing ones, you know, playing with Frank Marino, you know, it's just what a killer guitar player, man. You know, that's part of the fun of the biz, right? I mean, it's just, you know, it's
especially playing live.
Playing, you know, with these acts, and you know, and then the sort of the 14-year-old, 16-year-old, and you know, you get to meet your heroes sometimes, which is really cool. Most of the time, most of the time they're cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I had the editor of Music Connection magazine tell me once, because I was doing some interviews, and I got to interview a few people that I was really, I told him, hey, these guys are like my heroes, you know, it's going to be great to interview them. And he goes, sometimes you have to think about that, Cole. It's like, you know, maybe you don't want to meet your heroes, you know, because sometimes your bubble is going to get burst, you know, find out that they're just people, just like everybody else, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now you mentioned on Rebel Road, there's some impressive guest musicians. I heard you say Slash. So Rebel Road, who's all on that album?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the main characters obviously are Edgar Winter, Slash, you know, Johnny Winter, and Clint Black was another one, you know, who's a friend of Edgar. There's also Abe Laboriel Jr., drummer.
Yeah.
On there, Matt Logg, who's now playing with AC/DC and played with Alanis Morissette and all that.
Oh, yeah, Matt Logg, yeah.
Yeah, Matt's playing drums.
He played with a guy from Tom Petty, but what's his name? I forgot.
Yeah, he was with Mike Campbell and the Dirty Knobs for a long time, and then he got the call to do the AC/DC thing, and that's kind of a hard one to turn down. So who else is on that record? Like I said, Doug Rappaport, just an amazing guitar player.
Yeah, long list of stuff. People go check out all the guest musicians in that record. It's pretty cool. Yeah, and after that, you did your own solo music as well. A couple of releases out there. I see two album releases.
Yeah.
And, what style of music are you doing? Are they the same style in both, or are you changing? And did any in working with War, Edgar Winter, was there any influence from them in your music?
No, unfortunately, no. I wish, you know, maybe it'd be more popular. I'm
oh, James.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm a tried and true, besides the Beatles, Toto fan, you know, so I think that kind of comes out. I don't have the high voice, unfortunately, to soar above the music tracks and everything like that. But there's some cross-pollinization in the sense that, you know, I'm about humanity and about bettering this earth, you know, with my lyrics. If you really get into them, if you start listening, you know, to the lyrics and everything like that, it's always about, you know, self-improvement, self-reflection, and then self-improvement. And, you know, and then trying to, you know, better ourselves as human beings on this planet.
Like healing.
My perspective.
It's like healing.
Like who?
Healing.
Healing, I think you're saying. Like healing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like
music can heal or can, you know, do
yeah. James, any guest players on that on your releases?
Well, there's you know, Lonnie Jordan from War is on both records. And then Jimmy Haslip, the great bass player from the Yellow Jackets, is playing on there. Sal Rodriguez from War, Bernard Fowler, is singing background on both records. And my wife, Amanda Haley, who's just an amazing singer, you know, is singing backgrounds, you know, with Bernard as well on some of the tunes. And Joshua Seth Egan is just a great studio drummer, and, you know, has played with Pink and a bunch of people. And, you know, he's on both records. Just, I love his drumming. And both of those were done at the Steakhouse Studios, you know, with my friend, you know, my friend Lee Bench engineered them and owns the studio. And Steve Lukather's name is, you know, associated with that studio a lot because he named it and was a part of it for a long time.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I see in your bio that you're an educated player. You know?
Yes.
So I wanted to.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, not enough to hurt myself, you know, not enough to be an A-list studio cat and not dumb enough to be a rock star. But, you know, so anyway, it's all.
Exactly. Well, you know, if you would, you know, take us back in time briefly and just tell us, you know, what inspired you to get into music and why guitar and who did you study with?
Well, the first thing with guitar was my brother. He's 8 years older than me, and he just had, to me, just great taste in music. You know, the Beatles, Stones, Hendrix, Jeff Beck, you know, and then he started learning guitar, and I just, you know, I noticed it, and I just thought, you know, this is really cool. I mean, I just love the fact that he could you know, in a couple of months start playing songs that we would hear on the radio. And I thought that was pretty cool. And then I had one incident where I brought some friends home from school and wanted my brother to play for them. And so, you know, he played for them and he made a few mistakes. He's just a big beginning guitar player. And when they left, I said, "Hey, Dan, you know, you're kind of embarrassing me. You know, you made some mistakes there." And he laughed and he says, "Well, why don't you try it? You know, it's not that easy." And I said, "Okay, you know, I will." And so here I am. You know, he was kind enough to take a nylon string guitar and have it, I'm left-handed, so he had it restrung for me. And 1 week when I was sick from school, I was home, I just had a guitar book with chords and started, you know, learning the chord shapes, and it came real easy for me for some reason, you know, just, you know, playing the chord shapes. And then I took lessons at Santa Monica School of Music for a minute with a guy, Tommy Franco, who, you know, started showing me a little bit more. And then in high school, I was in the jazz band, and there was a performance there with Toshiko Akiyoshi Big Band, and a guitar player named Jeff Richmond, great jazz fusion guitar player, was playing with him. And I just loved the way he played, so I talked to him about getting lessons. And so he lived on Bay Street in Santa Monica at the time. So I would drive down there and take lessons. And he was a trained guitar player from Berkeley. So, you know, he would start teaching me how to transcribe solos from Chet Baker and things like that. And, you know, more expensive chord voicings. And, you know, some people call them adult chord voicings, expensive ones. And so I kept going. And then I went to Santa Monica College and kept, you know, for a year, I was in the jazz band there and took four-part writing and all that. And I just thought, you know, this is what I want to do. And so I decided to go to MI, Guitar Institute of Technology. And there was just GIT, BIT, and PIT back then. That was in 84. I graduated in 85.
Yeah, they were just starting really back then.
Yeah. And and so I had amazing teachers. You know, I had Scott Henderson. And Robin Ford. And, you know, Joe DiOrio, Don Mock. There's so many great musicians, you know what I mean? And Frank Mbali was another one. He was the only one that made me cry, you know, cause I was not a one-on-one, but you go into a room and you would take turns reading the real book, you know, jazz charts with him. And, you know, he was sitting there flying, doing his sweep picking and everything like that, you know, going, come on, mate. You know, I'm like, do-ba-do-be-dee-ba-dub, you know, kind of got defeated a little bit there for a minute, but, you know, just all that started to assimilate. And Robin Ford told me one time, he just said, it's not going to all happen right now. You know, all this information isn't just going to just go into your plane and then pop out, you know, over time in different playing situations, you know, whether playing live or studio work or, you know, those kind of things, it's going to, you know, start to trickle in and become part of your playing.
Yeah, but you know what happened is that when they were recorded the Live Aid, the you know, that video, We Are the War.
Yeah.
But the what was the engineer? Was Dave Foster or who was the one engineer?
No, I think it was Humberto Gattica.
That was some the producer. Sorry. So they told Neil Young that he was singing at his pitchy, you know. And he told them, that's my style. And when they asked me when I played the wrong notes, I told them, that's my style.
Yeah, that's good. That's my style, man.
I should have told Frank Mbali that, right? You know, that's my style, Frank.
That was supposed to be a fusion. You played the Japanese note here.
Oh, well, you know, now that I know that you can just BS and play anything, I mean, I would have done that back then.
No, sometimes, you know, like when you take chances, you can, if you jam it, you know, you're going to play the wrong note eventually, but
yeah, that's great.
There are no wrong notes, right?
No.
Yeah, it's like one time I was walking by. Yeah, I was walking by the Lighthouse Cafe, and I believe it was a band's poster, you know, caught my eye. Who, you know, who's playing this Sunday night at the cafe? It's Cult of the Wrong Note.
Cult of the Wrong Note?
Cult of the Wrong Note.
Oh,
and
that's great.
And I got it. I was like, oh my God, that's so brilliant. And I just, I love Lavis. Like that explains everything. Like that name just tells you exactly who's going to be playing there that night. You know, it's going to be a jazz show.
See, that was the problem with MIDI. MIDI, when you play MIDI with the keyboards, even if you barely touch a note, it records the MIDI. So when you listen back, see, what is that? And it's just because it records everything that you play. Even if you don't press hard, you don't have to press hard on the keyboard, but it records the note. So when you listen back, you see, what is that note in there? It's because it records everything.
Well, thank goodness for Logic, and you can go in and, you know, just erase that one note.
You know, if you play like a regular keyboard, you know, it won't record those notes.
Right.
Yeah, your fingers kind of tapping those
keys. If you go analog, like you do like a regular keyboard, you don't have that problem.
Right. So starting your second tour of duty with War, how did that happen again? You were filling
in? Well, basically just over, you know, I was subbing over the years and they went in a different direction and called me, you know, a year ago, you know, January in 2023. And asked me to come back full time, and it's just been great. You know, I love that music. You know, I've been a fan of War since I was about 16. I had a friend of mine, Vance, a drummer, who borrowed his mom's big white Cadillac, and it had an eight track in there. And he picked me up one day, said, "You got to check out this band." And he popped in War, and you know, at the time, it kind of scared me. It sounded so street and heavy and cool, you know. And I'm just this little white Santa Monica, like, oh my, you know, but I picked up on the funk, you know. I mean, I love funk guitar and just the grooves, you know. Again, you know, they were kind of really one of the first ones around, you know, so War and Santana, you know, getting more of that world sound going on in there, you know, like with the Latin beats and then
Herbie Hancock.
Pardon me?
Herbie Hancock have all those funk albums, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a lot of rhythm, like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and so.
Paul Jackson.
Yeah, so that's you know, that my love for the band goes way back. So being in it, you know, that's when it happened again. You know, it was last year, and now we've been on the road, just having a great time, and more tour dates are coming up, and you know, like I said, like we talked about at the beginning, you know, just how are the War fans, you know, talking, you know, with the party atmosphere and everything like that. It really, you know, it's reciprocal because you're playing these tunes for them that they love, but they're giving all this energy back, you know, to the stage. Yeah. And it really lifts you up. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's really a great way to be living. I mean, but, you know, being a musician, playing music is great. You know, I mean, there is work, but the, you know, the positive aspect of it all for anybody in any band is that affirming energy. You know, it's high energy. It's going out there. The crowd's picking it up. It's coming back to you. It's, you know, so it lifts everybody up. You know, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've done, you know, we just got off, you know, a lot of people are doing those cruises now, you know, it's those rock cruises.
Oh, yeah.
And so we just got off our second one. It was the Rock and Romance cruise. And we were on there with Foreigner and Pablo Cruz and other bands. And, you know, so it was great. You know, that's the other great thing about touring, and you know, you have a moment like that where I can stop and be a fan too, and you know, go watch Foreigner and Bruce Watson. I know the guitar player in Foreigner, and Larry Antonino and Sergio Gonzalez in Pablo Cruz. So you get to run into guys that you don't see all the time, but now you're together on the road, and you know, like a NAMM show, right? You know, when you haven't seen certain guys for a while, and you get to catch up in a different way. It's fantastic, man.
You go to the NAMM show, the last one?
I didn't go to the NAMM show this last one. I just sort of had, you know, I've done it so many times, and I really should have gone because I have an endorsement with Ernie Ball, and I reached the burnout level with NAMM this year.
Next time you come to see us.
Oh, yeah.
No, we usually have a booth there, yeah.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I will definitely be at the next one. You know, this was just my... this was my hall pass, you know, my year off, you know, and then I'll
make too much.
Yeah, I'll make the trek next year and go a couple of days for sure.
Yeah, drop by, say hello, you know.
Well, of course, oh, yeah, the Rock Music Alliance booth, and, you know, of course.
Also, Thimble Slide.
Yeah, I usually have the Thimble Slide booth is what you'll see. Like right now, it's like a 10 by 10 booth with a big, you know, wall in back says Thimble Slide, but I'm sharing it with the Rock Music Alliance. So we set up a little desk for the Rock Music Alliance. We will have a Rock Music Alliance booth at some point. I've already got plans for that, but it looks like it's probably going to be yet another year, like you know, maybe in 2026.
Oh, okay. Know, well, yeah, then I'll come by and check out the Thimble Slide.
For sure. Yeah, that'd be a great time. Combine. I'll show it all to you. You know, try one on and try it out. You know,
I'm a lefty, but you know, I mean, I can play it upside down. I still know the strings.
Yeah, you know? I got to mention, like, I see bands like War, you know, who have been around a long time, and they've kind of become, I don't know, I guess, institution, or they're becoming, you know, they're regulars to the industry. But I'm amazed at sometimes, you know, why they're not putting out any new music, you know, or not much in the way of new music. So I'm wondering. You know, a few new songs from War would be really fantastic. And I'm just wondering, any chance of any new songwriting going on? And could you be a part of it with the way that War is politically structured?
You know, they're always working on something. You know, right now I've been asked to come in the studio a couple of times, you know, to play some guitar and some new tunes. They sound great. I'm not a songwriter on them. I would love to be, you know, at some point, writing tunes with Lonnie again and those guys. But I'm just happy to hang in the guitar chair and lay down some tracks, and, we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, hopefully they'll see the light of day. That would be fantastic. You know?
Yeah, it really would. I mean, it'd be great to see, like I say, a few new songs, and maybe even the guys would gain a fresh hit from War. That would be great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm rooting for it. You know, I'm just hanging back, and I've just sort of answered the call when I'm called, you know, that kind of thing.
I gotcha. And gotcha. Well, that brings us to the end of our time, guys. I want to say good luck, James, on your second tour of duty with War, and, have a good time out there on the road. For anybody listening, you can keep in touch with James, of course, at jameszotabaker.com and of course on social media. You know, James, thanks for being our guest today on the Rock Music Alliance interview sessions, and ciao.
Hey, peace, man. Thanks for having me. Great to see you, buddy. Cheers, you guys.
I'm Cole Coleman, and for Claudio Pesavento, the Rock Music Alliance, and the RMA Awards, thanks for watching and listening. Visit us at rockmusicalliance.com and check out this year's RMA Awards for rock, metal, and progressive rock music. We'll